With a series of spectacles that largely excluded any mention or display of its nuclear weapons program, a possible signal of support for ongoing negotiations with the U.S. Correspondent Will Ripley reports from Pyongyang.
Previous parade that I saw on Kim Il-sung Square, where they unveiled new ICBMs, it was an ominous warning to the United States. President Trump was tweeting regularly threatening messages to North Korea, insults to their leader, Kim Jong-un. The journalist Bob Woodward reporting that President Trump actually drafted a tweet saying that he was going to pull out all the dependents of the 28,000 U.S. soldiers stationed in South Korea, something that Woodward says North Korea would have interpreted as a threat of imminent attack.
Will Ripley there referencing the book due out tomorrow, Fire, written by veteran journalist Bob Woodward. President Trump is again hammering that read. Trump tweeted this morning, Woodward is a liar and a Democratic operative. I'm John Trout.
As realtors, we won't stop until you own the house you've always wanted. But owning the house means owning a...
Hey Dave, let's tune into the Simply Senior radio show on K-Talk this Saturday. It's at 2 p.m. and it actually sounds really interesting, and maybe we can learn something.
I love you, Barb, but I think I'll pass. Besides, it sounds more like geezer radio. I bet it's all about soft foods and spray-on hair. How old do you think I am?
Okay, Dave, let me ask you in a different way. Do you want to listen to a radio show for people who are smarter, wiser, and have more life experiences than everyone else? Yes or no?
On second thought, I'm in.
If you want to join us for the Simply Senior radio show, tune into K-Talk at 1640 a.m. every Saturday from 2 to 3 p.m. See you there, Slugger.
The Simply Senior Radio Show is a radio program for those people who are a little bit smarter, a little bit wiser, and have a ton more experience than anyone else.
Kubota ZEL2501 DT packs powerful performance into one easy-to-operate compact tractor. Designed for all-day operator comfort and easy use of implements, the L2501 DT makes mowing, digging, hauling, and lifting quick and simple. Now get payments as low as $135 a month with 0% APR financing for 84 months. Now through December 31st, 2018. See us or go to KubotaUSA.com for more information.
Find a Kubota dealer near you at GoKubota.com.
You're listening to When Wall Street Meets Main Street, the talk show making the most out of your finances. When Wall Street Meets Main Street features advice from local experts on building wealth, saving, and investing. And now your hosts of When Wall Street Meets Main Street.
Good morning and welcome to where Wall Street meets Main Street. This is your host, Alan Blood. Thanks for coming along today and listening to the show. If you've got calls or comments or questions, our on-air number is 801-254-1640. Give us a call. Join in the conversation. The financial markets this week, looks like we're off to a tepid start, slightly up in both the NASDAQ and the Dow. The Federal Reserve Chairman, Board of Governors, Rosengreen, the president of the Boston Fed, is heavily on board and made some comments over the weekend about his intent to seek for more interest rate increases as the Federal Reserve tightens up their interest rate and their federal prime rate. In the past, he's been a little bit dovish. He's been against large increases. And about 2 years ago, he switched sides. And now he's heavily on board the idea that the Federal Reserve needs to raise rates gradually, as they've been doing. But the new iteration this weekend is that he thinks that ought to continue longer than maybe he's thought in the past. And so he spoke to a group over the weekend and made it fairly clear that he thought that the Fed prime rate should go up by as much as 5% from where it is right now. Should that come to reality, that will definitely have an impact on what you're paying for interest rates and credit cards and car loans and eventually in mortgages. And so with that in the offing, this might be a good time to really take stock of where you're at with your debt, where you're at with your finances, and make sure that those are in order. I don't think this is going to be something based on what we're seeing that's going to come all at once or come tomorrow, but it is going to come. So be prepared, be ready. That's something that you really should be aware of. Another odd financial news, Nike apparently is not seeing any blowback from, at least on a financial sector, from their employee of Kaepernick, the kneeler, as I guess he's known. There was some initial thought that maybe Nike, by having some sponsorship from Colin Kaepernick, might result in a real negative hit to their stocks. Apparently, we don't care quite as much about people kneeling when it comes to buying tennis shoes as you might have thought. So that stock continues to move forward and move up. We've got a great guest here today. We've got a guest both in the studio and on the air that I want to introduce to you, and I'm excited to have them. They've come on before, and we're going to talk a little bit about real estate today. We're going to get into what you ought to be aware of when you're looking at real estate and a different strategy than maybe you've thought of before, and I'm excited to have them on. So thank you for joining us, Rebecca and Jeff from the Utah Real Estate Investors Association. Thanks for being on today.
Thank you for having us.
It's great to be here.
Appreciate you guys taking time. So real quickly, introduce yourself again to our listeners and tell me what you guys do and who you are.
Jeff.
There's a quick lead in, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, to tell you a little bit about our organization, we were started in 2013, and we are primarily focused on helping new and even experienced investors learn how to get to the next level. So wherever they're at in their investment strategy, taking it to that next level and making it a success.
Having been personally involved in real estate for a couple of decades, one of the challenges I run into with investor groups is that the end goal of that group seems to be to find out how much balance you've got available on your credit card so you can spend it in its entirety to buy training programs. And I've seen a lot of people over the years invest in very, very expensive training programs that maybe didn't bring them to any real benefit. Is that something you see? What's your take on that?
You know, there are a million ways you can spend money in real estate. There are gurus galore and specialists abound, and it really makes sense that you need to be careful in that market. There are just too many ways that you can spend your education budget. We try to provide a very feasible and alternative way for people to learn how to invest in real estate without breaking the bank.
It seems like if you're spending all your money learning, that doesn't really leave you much to be investing.
That is absolutely true.
That can be a challenge. So you've got an event coming up that I'm excited to be part of. Tell us about your event that's upcoming.
So on Wednesday, September 19th, we have our Utah REIA Annual Expo. It's our fifth one. And we're excited to bring in Tom Zeeb. He's a national wholesaling expert. One thing that separates us from the rest of the pack is that we are here to provide education. At this particular event, we are bringing in individuals who will share their expertise and not try to sell you a $10,000 package. So that being in a nutshell. We also have a motivational speaker coming in, Chris Barney, and we have a vendor reception that we're pretty excited about as well. So
that's great. When and where is that event being held?
So it's Wednesday, September 19th. It starts at, registration starts at 8 in the morning, and events go until 7. You can come and go as you please. And that will be at the Salt Lake Community College Miller Campus and Miller Free Enterprise Center in the Karen Gale Miller Conference Center. So
this event is geared towards seasoned investors only?
No, actually. It's geared mostly for beginning investors and those who want to take a different look at wholesaling. But we also have you, Alan, coming in to talk about the economy and where real estate is going to go in the state of Utah. So.
And that's a cautious topic. I always hesitate to pull out my crystal ball, and everybody asks the question of what happens tomorrow, and the reality is nobody really knows. But wouldn't it be nice to have a little bit of an indicator? And there's some good indicators, I think. And it seems like here in Utah we're still poised for some pretty decent growth. I think I'm optimistic about it. And so it's a great time. I think anybody who's interested in real estate ought to take the time to come and listen to those speakers. You can stop in at my comments. Come into my section if you'd like, but definitely come and show up and listen. And so you mentioned Tom Zeeb. We have Tom here on the air with us today. Tom, can you hear me?
I can. Hi.
There we go. Hey, Tom, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking time out of your day to join us. You were introduced briefly just in name only. Tell my listeners, Tom, a little bit about what your involvement in real estate is and what you do.
Yeah, I'm a real estate wholesaler. So I market for properties, negotiate good deals, put them under contract, and then sell them to other investors that either want to fix them up or that want to hold them as rentals.
Okay, that's pretty straightforward. What brought you into this? What was your starting point, your jumping off point into real estate? Everybody's always got a story. What's your impetus?
My story started, actually had a near-death experience. I almost drowned in a whitewater rafting event. And I said, I've got to do something more than just be stuck in my 9-to-5 job that I was starting to hate. And I looked for a way out, and it wound up being real estate.
Okay. I was at an event at one of my kids' schools. I've got a sixth grader, and we were at an event at a school, and they were introducing some of the kids. And this one kid stood up, 11, 12 years old, and they'd asked him, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? He said, I want to fulfill my lifelong dream of becoming a real estate agent. Okay, maybe his parents are realtors. I don't know, but he was ready to go. That was his dream starting off at an early age. So you had this event that kind of changed your perspective and decided real estate was for you. So what brought you from that into wholesaling?
Wholesaling in particular came because I screwed everything else up first. I bought rentals when I couldn't afford them, couldn't maintain them. I was no good at renovating houses or managing crews. And then I realized it by accident, I had a property under contract, and another investor came up to me at my local real estate investors association and said, hey, that's the perfect property for me. I'll buy it off of you. I said, well, I don't own it yet, and I'm going to rehab it, and I'm going to make a ton of money. And he goes, look, just assign it to me, and I'll take over, and I'll pay you.
Okay.
And I said, you know, you can do that? Really?
That's a thing? That's a thing?
Pretty straight. Yeah, that's a thing, and it's fairly straightforward. I'll walk you through it. And then the rest is, as they say, history. I went, wow, this is great. I mean, I made a killing on that. And then I said, if I can just keep doing this again and again, I'll never have to go back and get a job. I can pay off all my debt, and I can move forward and have the freedom that I've been looking for.
When was your first transaction? When did that event occur?
That was 2001.
So you've been in this through the ups and the downs, and I've been doing real estate on the finance side for about 22 years, and it's definitely been a roller coaster ride. And I think maybe people coming into it today don't quite understand what this was like 10 years ago, and what you had to work through to really continue to make this work. And so I'm always impressed when I find people who have managed that roller coaster and that up and down. We're going to take a break here in a minute. We've got a commercial break coming up. When we come back, maybe you could talk a little bit about that, maybe introduce what this idea of wholesaling is to those who aren't aware, and then also get into a little bit what you did to survive for 10 years or 2 years or however long it was, and what that meant for you if the housing bubble was good or bad for you. And on your side, was it good or bad?
My side, it was fine.
Okay. So you continue.
I'll tell you why. Yep, I'll tell you why.
Yeah, well, that's a good teaser. In real estate, you did well. You did well through the down cycle, and as I mentioned just a moment ago, that seems to be one of the regular concerns that I hear people saying. Well, are we headed for another bubble? When you see most areas, particularly here along the Wasatch Front, where we're broadcasting from, where there have been double-digit housing price appreciation in almost every major area, and even in some of the outlying areas now, we're starting to see that kind of just really out of norm growth, it causes a lot of trepidation and concern. What do you think, in a nutshell? Are we heading towards a bubble? And how many times a day are you asked that question?
Yeah, a lot. The thing is, you know, there's no national real estate market, so you've got to look at each market individually. And you know, I think it's going to be a big growth time for most of America now, maybe with the exception of Washington, D.C., where I'm from. Which hopefully contracts.
Yeah, you've already had your growth. All right, we're going to pick that up right after the break. We've got it coming up. We'll see you here in just another moment. Stick around here, listeners. We'll be back after the break.
I'm the sun and the air. The weekend is coming, and you need to plan a date night. You could go to a movie and dinner, but there's nothing original about that. Here's a new and exciting idea. Take your date indoor shooting at the Armory Gun Range. Instead of renting a bowling lane,
lame,
or playing miniature golf,
yay,
you can rent a shooting lane at the Armory Gun Range. Impress your spouse or your date with your original plan. The Armory can provide both guns and ammo, and rookies are welcome.
I would be excited if my boyfriend took me shooting. The Armory is located in Sandy at 9210 South and 248 West. The phone number is 801-447-1789. Again, that is 801-447-1789. You can also check out their website at armoryshootingrange.com. The range is open from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday.
The Armory Gun Range, blowing holes in boring date nights.
Welcome back to Where Wall Street Meets Main Street. This is your host, Alan Blood. We've got Tom Zweeb on the air here with us today, who's a real estate, can I call you a coach? Do I call you a mentor? Do I call you a guru? What's your job title on your card? Real estate extraordinaire?
Investor and mentor.
There you go. Investor and mentor. I like that. And then we also have the Utah Real Estate Investment Association here, who are sponsoring you to come to their event on the 19th.
That's correct.
We're excited to have you here in Utah.
Yes.
And hear your expertise. So, Tom, before the break, I mentioned suffering through or muddling through or surviving or even thriving through the real estate downturn. How did that impact your business? What was that like from a wholesaler's perspective?
In the end, I lost one deal over it. One deal went away because what happened was suddenly it wasn't a problem finding motivated sellers. That's Yeah, if anything, there was an increase in,
yeah.
in people wanting to get out of their houses. The odd thing was, during the pinch, was that our buyers...
Wait, I'm going to go back just a minute. The pinch, I like that. That's a new phrase for that that period of time. The pinch. That's how I'm going to go with it from now on. It's not a downturn.
Yeah.
It's a pinch. Okay. So during the pinch...
During the pinch, buyers got a little more difficult because they were nervous about what was coming in the future. If you don't really know, then you start to get nervous. So I had one deal that I had to let go, but I lost nothing personally in it. And that's one of the reasons I like wholesaling so much is I always have to move a contract on the property at today's pricing. So if it's the market's up, down, or sideways, it doesn't really matter. I'm moving it at what it means now. So
okay.
there's no hold to it.
Got it. So tell me a little bit about wholesaling and educate our listeners on what that is and what that means. That's not a term that I think most people really think of when it comes to real estate in general.
No, it's a confusing term in real estate because if you look it up in the dictionary, it says a wholesaler is a merchant middleman. What does that mean in real estate? in a nutshell, what I do is I market for people that are in trouble with their property or the property's run down and not listable because it's not in good shape. I negotiate with those people to put together to get a good price on the property. I get it under contract, and then I sell the contract. That's where I'm the middleman. I take the contract and I sell the contract to buy the property to another investor, someone who either wants to rehab it or wants to buy and hold it as a rental.
Now, I think that's a key piece is selling it to another investor. My background is in mortgage financing, and the idea of getting financing on an assignment is pretty challenging. So when you go and you find this home and you're going to sell it over to another investor, for that other person to come in and get a typical bank loan on that as an assignment can create some specific challenges. Do you have a way of getting around that or getting through that, I should say?
Yes, I usually focus on buyers that have cash.
That's a good buy. You know, and it's funny because there was a time when that would have almost been laughable, I think. Well, maybe not laughable, but definitely rare. And anymore in this economy, we're seeing a lot of cash buyers or cash-like buyers where they've got some kind of a revolving line of credit that they rely on to go and acquire real estate. So I think that is something that's fairly almost a standard. I know here in our market, cash sales account for a pretty substantial piece of the investor market right now.
Yeah. Investors, remember, I'm not selling to a homeowner. So the need to go get financing isn't there. They're professional rehabbers or landlords, and they've got cash available or lines of credit available to be able to buy good properties.
It would seem like one of the biggest challenges in making that work in this current market, that definitely is more of a seller's market than a buyer's market, is finding opportunities for deals where there's enough juice in it that there is an opportunity to wholesale. Is that something that you run into in the markets you work in? And have you worked in Utah? What's your experience with that?
It's not a matter of, does it get difficult to find somebody with a distressed property? No, because life is always occurring. There's people always, moving in the state or out of state. They're getting into trouble with the property. They're getting divorced. They're getting old. Or they pass away, and now it's an inherited property. Or they're a tired landlord, or particularly a sick and tired landlord. There's always something that occurs in life, so we always have deals. And meanwhile, houses are naturally decaying. It gets hot, it gets cold, place ages out, and then it doesn't have the current style anymore either. So there's always a reason for a property to go downhill and get into trouble, and there's always reasons that people get into trouble and then need an investor like me to come along and quickly help them out of their situation and stabilize them.
And what you're going to be talking about when you come here to Utah, are you going to be getting into strategies to go actually find those properties? I know that's something, as I talk to investors and agents, that they're constantly on the hunt for and seem to be somewhat challenging to find.
Yes, a large chunk of what I'm going to be teaching at the expo is marketing, how to find deals and how to find them creatively, how to find them in challenging markets, how to set yourself apart from everybody else so that you're the natural choice and people want to come to you.
So that marketing piece, I think it's interesting you mentioned that. One of the challenges I see with entrepreneurs, whether it be in real estate or whether they be professionals like attorneys or financial advisors or really in any industry, is marketing. That people just, they think that they know that their product is fantastic, and because they know they're awesome and their product is really super cool, everyone else will automatically know that as well and will just come running to them from a Facebook post or an Instagram, and they'll just say, boy, I've got to have your product because it's so amazing. And their marketing plan consists of, well, I'm going to tell my aunt and uncle, and also I'm going to post it on Facebook, and it's going to work. Do you run into that? Do you see that with the people you work with? Is that a common challenge amongst them?
That's why most people fail in business on their own. They don't understand that marketing takes something. It takes an effort. It takes a strategy. You got to have an approach, and then you actually have to do enough volume of it to keep people coming into your funnel.
That's an interesting topic in real estate because I don't hear that talked about by people who are mentoring and coaching. Usually it's go find the property. And it's almost assumed that the property is going to just sell itself or that your services will just sell themselves. You just have to go find somebody who wants it, and they're going to automatically just come right to you. And the fact that that's something that's a focus is interesting to me. What is it that brought you to that as part of your focus? Because that is a little bit different from what I've seen in the past.
Yeah, it's a personal pet peeve of mine because a lot of people do think, they want to teach everything else and have you do everything else, further down the line. Because, that's easy to teach, and you can talk about it and be excited about it and become an expert in it. But it doesn't matter if you're an expert in something you'll never get to do, and if you never get to do it because you don't do the first thing first, which is find the deals.
Find that client, find that buyer.
Yeah. So it was my own frustration at the beginning with, I started off somewhat blind with no real training, and then most stuff was kind of what you were saying earlier. It was ridiculously expensive, didn't seem focused on what it's supposed to be focused on. And out of frustration over the years, I figured out what I needed to do, and that's why I teach it so differently and make sure that we focus on first things first, and the first part is the marketing. You've got to get that right. Everything else is great, but you've got to get the marketing right or you will never have a business to talk about.
Interesting. I really like that idea. That's a class that I think ought to be taught more regularly. I mean, I have a background in law, and many of the people I know that graduated in my law class, they never were able to really find their footing on their own when they tried because they just didn't know how to get in front of people. And I think when you take somebody who's entering into a new business like real estate as an entrepreneur, maybe it's starting out as a part-time deal, I don't think people really think about that enough, and they don't focus on it enough, and it just sets them up for almost automatic failure. So I really like that that's something that you focus on a little bit and that becomes a situation that's important for you. So how does this wholesaling thing, for the novice investor that's listening, for somebody who wants to be a real estate investor, one of the common issues I run into, again, being in financing, is if you want to get bank financing on an investment property, you've got to have a really substantial amount of money. You've got to have very good credit. You've got to have documentable income. If you're self-employed, you better have been self-employed for at least 2 years and be paying income taxes, because if you're really good at your taxes, you're not going to get a mortgage. And so there's a lot of hurdles towards becoming an investor when you're starting. How does what you're talking about differ from that?
Well, I teach people, as you build your buyer's list, you build the rehabbers or the landlords that want to buy your deals from you, buy your contracts from you, you have to make sure that they have their financing together. You personally don't need to have financing. You don't need to have cash. You don't need all that, but your buyers do. So you need to learn where to find them and how to screen them. And what I always tell students is you'll be shocked when you start getting into it, how many people do have the money. They do have their act together. They do have their line of credit together. They do have the cash together. And those are the ones you're after. You're after those the buyers that have their act together, that can take the properties from you, take the contracts from you, and buy them. So part of what you're doing at the beginning as well is building that buyers list, so that you have a group of investors that you can be your contracts to, your properties to.
I like that. I tell people in real estate, you've got two commodities, really, and it's money and time. And often those who have money don't have time, and vice versa. So it's finding the person who has the item you don't have and just leveraging that against it and becoming a partnership. And so I like the idea of saying you don't have to have those finances. You don't have to have that resource. You just have to have time and some expertise. That's a different approach.
Correct. And if you think about it, you've got the time and expertise. That's the part that your buyers are lacking, because they're busy renovating houses. They're busy managing their properties, managing your tenants. What tends to fall apart for them is marketing, to find more deals, and the time that it takes to market them and then negotiate them. So if that's what you focus on as a wholesaler, it's a very nice symbiotic relationship between the two of you.
I like the idea of finding win-win opportunities. I think all too often in business in general, and real estate in specific, there's this idea that one party wins and one party loses, and one party negotiates better and one party maybe doesn't come off as well, and that it's like we're dealing with this finite pie, and if your slice is bigger, everyone else's slice is smaller. And I don't see the world that way. I think we live in a more of a world of abundance where you can do well and other people can do well. And so the idea that you can find that symbiotic relationship, I think, is really valuable to people. So Jeff and Rebecca, tell us a little bit. How did you connect with Tom? What was your connection with him? How did he come in to be involved with the Utah Real Estate Investors Association?
So the Utah Real Estate Investors Association is a chapter of the National Real Estate Investors Association. And through participation in several events, we have the Mid-Year Conference, we have MarTech Conference, and we get together pretty regularly as a national group. Then we had the opportunity to network and build a relationship with Tom and see his systems and processes in place, and also talk to other real estate investors groups who have had Tom come out and talk at their groups and their meetings and their expos and see what kind of information he has to give. So that's where
great.
We found Tom.
Whenever I hear someone's a real estate guru, Tom, the first thing I do is I go online and I look for all the bad things. Right?
Because, I did too.
Because you want to know. Because there, you know, you want to see what somebody's experience has been. And I'll fess up. I couldn't find any. Nobody hates you. And that's, I think, that in and of itself is accomplishment. Either you're really, really good at SEO and driving those down into the bottom of Google, or nobody hates you. How'd you pull that one off?
Magic.
Magic.
No, yeah, and I'll tell you exactly what the magic is. You know, if you treat people well and you're always actually giving, I don't find any need to hold back. I mean, like you've been saying, guru as a term, it has a bad name. People have there's a weird reputation. The gurus are out, they're going to just, you know, suck all your money dry,
yeah.
Teach you next to nothing, and then leave you high and dry. And I saw so much of that when I started, that when I finally got to the point where I, you know, it's become a very personal mission for me to train other people, and particularly to give them the tools I wished I would have had when I started. You know, people say, look, there's doing something well, there's teaching something well. Both of those can be fairly rare. The combination of the two is extremely rare. And, you know, Tommy, you've got that. You've managed to break it down and get people to understand it. And you do it, and that's an odd combination. You almost have an obligation to get out there and share that talent, and that's what I've done. And I do it in kind of an anti-guru way.
Awesome, I love it. Well, we're going to pick this up after the break. Listeners, stay tuned here at KTalk. Hi, this is Alan Blood with Capital Financial Group. With home values increasing and low rates still available, now is the perfect time to refinance your home. Capital Financial Group, we have loan programs to fit your refinance needs, whether you want to pull cash out from your home, decrease your interest rate and monthly payment, or just reduce your loan to a 15-year payoff. We have programs that will help you refinance even if your income or credit is less than it used to be or if you're underwater on your mortgage. Instead of getting lost in the shuffle of a big bank or paying high fees at a credit union, call us and we'll help you refinance with the best rates and lowest closing costs for you. You may even qualify for one of our no closing cost loans. Call me today, Alan Blood, at 801-298-5887 to start saving money on your mortgage now. 801-298-5887, NMLS number 3146.
VF Law is a regional law firm with offices in six western states, known for its unparalleled experience in HOA law and plaintiff civil litigation team, led by Ted McBride.
Hi, I'm trial attorney Ted McBride, and together with my team, we've recovered millions of dollars for our clients in cases ranging from car accidents, legal malpractice, medical malpractice, civil rights, and construction defect. If you feel your rights have been violated or if you're getting stonewalled by an insurance company, give us a call. We can help.
Call Ted McBride at 801-355-9594 or visit vf-law.com to schedule your free consultation. 801-355-9594.
Welcome back to Where Wall Street Meets Main Street. We've got a call over the break here that I want to get into a little bit. Tom, maybe you can address this. A caller called in and said, hey, I've got a property. It's out of state. It belonged to my brother. She's dealing with some funeral expenses and was going to try and short sale it, but apparently there was some payments missed, and now it's in a lot of fees and things that are involved, and she's trying to figure out what she could do with this out-of-state property that didn't go through a short sale that now she's trying to sell. How would you address someone who's looking at, number one, maybe somebody dealing with an out-of-state type property like that, and how would that type of situation play into what you're describing here?
Almost the exact kind of seller I said I was looking for, right? Look for someone, there's a problem with the property. Stopping the pain and stopping the bleeding and getting out of the situation is more important to her than price. So heading into that negotiation, the investor dealing with that is going to be in really good shape. And if, depending where the property is, we should find a buyer in that area. There's somebody that would take that property, fix it up, and resell it, or someone that will take it and put a tenant in there and hold it as a rental. So someone could be negotiating with this woman and helping her out of her situation. It'll pay off the arrearages, how far she's behind in the mortgage. It'll make the bank happy, and then the property gets transferred to the ultimate end buyer.
Gotcha.
You can solve a lot of problems all at once.
How do you counsel people on getting into out-of-state investment? What's your thought on that, and what's your experience with that, particularly those who are maybe newer into the investment world?
If you want to do out-of-state investment in a buy-and-hold scenario, it works. A lot of times I tell people, is there any need to look that much further than your own backyard?
It seems like when you get into that out-of-state environment and you're trying to deal with real estate that's even, I mean, we don't have to go out of state, that's 4 or 5 hours away from your home, it opens up a whole different set of issues and concerns that are not as easily resolved in my experience. Is that what you find with people you work with?
Correct. And it's one of the reasons why out-of-state owners is a particularly good market for me. So the property... Yeah. is in your local area, but the owner lives somewhere far away, and they get into those issues, and it's easier sometimes for them to just sell the property for you.
I think being an absentee landlord is a really difficult proposition for somebody who's new into real estate. I guess if you're a seasoned investor and you have kind of a little bit more of an idea of what to do and what not to do, it could work better. But when I see newer investors try and do an out-of-state deal, it always makes me really nervous for them.
And I think it's a scenario of the grass is always greener, or the excitement must be over there, rather than just look in your own backyard.
Yeah, there's an opportunity everywhere. So, Jeff and Rebecca, tell us a little bit about your experience wholesaling. What brought you into this, and why you wanted to bring Tom in and introduce him to the rest of the people in your group? How have you seen that work here in our local market?
Well, I actually do some wholesaling locally, and it's a pretty competitive market compared to other markets I've seen. I find a lot of people are very entrepreneurial here in our state, which yeah. is good and bad.
Yeah, that's true. And in fact, I think when you look at statistics for business startups and small business, we per capita lead the country in most of those statistics.
Yeah, absolutely. And that drives a pretty competitive market here for wholesaling, and it can be difficult to set yourself apart. So finding deals here can be even more difficult than other markets.
How important is that marketing piece that we were talking about earlier from your perspective here in our local market as far as setting yourself apart? What are the ways that you found that people that you've worked with have been able to effectively do that?
Well, it really is everything. If you can't substantiate yourself from someone else, then you're not going to get any deals. So sometimes it's quickness of being able to close. Other times it's just the relationships that you establish with the seller, and most of the time it's a combination of both.
Hmm. We also lead the country in per capita white collar crime and affinity crime, which is not as good as entrepreneurship. We are definitely in the top five of any statistics I've seen for affinity crime, meaning taking financial advantage of someone that you'd personally know or have a relationship with. So that's super great for the state of Utah. But I think one of the issues is that has become more known and understood, and that it makes people very suspicious and wary that everything is too good to be true. How do you address that here in our local market?
Well, it's definitely not too good to be true. And when I say that is because it requires a lot of effort. There's a lot of work involved in finding these deals and marketing them and building your buyers list and getting it out to the masses. So, you know, anything that requires real work scares off the people that are in it for the get rich quick scheme, as they call it. So
for the flyer on the side of the road.
Right, exactly.
We got a lot of flyers on the side of the road here. To come and make $10,000 a month tomorrow as a real estate investor. Yep. Those are my favorite.
Mentor-seeking trainee.
Yeah, I haven't seen anybody personally that has stepped into that $10,000 income day one. Maybe they're out there. They could call in and let us know if they are. But I haven't run into that yet. It seems like it's a lot more boots on the ground, hard work and effort, and time spent developing a market and developing a database.
Exactly.
So, Tom, when you're dealing with people that are new into this, that are stepping into wholesaling, what do you think the top two or three issues are that they encounter that you try and help them get past?
People have to learn to get a focus and actually apply themselves and implement what it is they say they want to do, because it's not a matter of, hey, I'm a wholesaler, let it start raining deals. You've got to get that right. You've got to get that marketing out there.
Yeah.
And there's a consistency to that and a repetition to that and some patience behind that as well. So that, one, are you actually doing what it takes? And then are you doing enough of it and repeating enough of it and patient to get through that? So not just pull the trigger on your first marketing campaign and expect it to start raining. It's going to take some repetition, take some time, and you got to make sure you have enough volume as well. And then people will go, well, you know, I made three phone calls. Well, that's three phone calls. That's a good start, but we're not there. We're not there yet.
Okay.
So I show people how to, you know, break your numbers down and get it so it's in manageable chunks. But you have to do it, and you have to apply yourself.
So if you take somebody who's got a decent sense of ability to speak, and one thing we do have in Utah in droves is people who have sales experience and people who have spent some time dealing with sales. We have a lot of salespeople in the state of Utah that have been trained in a variety of ways. So if you take somebody who's got some sales background and ability to communicate in a decent way, what do you think that time commitment is for a typical investor who's a reasonably intelligent person? I know that's a broad assumption, that is going to be able to take this knowledge and say, okay, I'm going to go and turn this into money. What do you think people should expect? Is this a 3-month, a 6-month, a 2-year cycle? What do you, and I know it varies, but what do you typically expect people to encounter when they're getting into this?
When people get serious and get the right volume of marketing out there and are committed to implementing it, I like to see it go down in about 60 days. 60 to 90 days is a sweet spot from when you actually start your marketing and get moving.
Okay. So from when you really decide, I'm going to grab this with both fists and move forward, 2 to 3 months before you're going to see income come in, which is pretty typical, I think, in any new enterprise, maybe even a little faster than some. So what kind of regulations do you run into when you're dealing with this? What are the challenges from a regulatory perspective that you see people get into?
The main thing is you've got to remember that you're not actually selling the house. You're not actually selling the property. You're selling the contract to buy it. So therefore, you actually have to have it under contract. It has to be a legally binding contract.
Kind of important.
It is kind of important, but some people will miss it, and then they want to try to, you know, sell it before they've got it, but it's got to be signed by both parties. It's got to be signed by the seller and signed by you. You have to have an earnest money deposit down on it. It can only be, you know, it only needs to be $100, but it needs to be there.
You gotta
and then when you have the legal contract, that is what you are marketing. You are marketing to sell that contract. You're selling your rights in the contract, the rights to buy the property. That is what you are selling, not the property itself.
So something you mentioned that I know has been a problem here in the state of Utah in the past is people that have decided they want to get into this type of a transaction that don't have real estate licenses, but end up doing things and having discussions that present themselves as if they're a real estate agent and engaging in activities as if they're a real estate agent and then getting into trouble with the regulatory bodies here in Utah. Is that something you find that people get into? How do you help people avoid that?
Yes, and that's something I've actually spoke to Utah attorneys about. I like to make sure everything, you know, when I go into a different state, they comply with what the local laws are. And you never want to present yourself as something that you're not. So you are a real estate, a buyer, whether or not you have a license to, you know, to be a real estate agent, but you're a buyer, and make sure that it's clear and understood by the seller, and it's clear and understood what you're doing. And then you say, look, I am going to reach out to my people, and I will match this deal with the best ultimate end buyer for it, if we have to rehab it or if it's going to be a buy and hold. And our goal is to help you out of the situation that you're in.
Do you find that in those deals, the initial seller, is there an opportunity for them to get some financial windfall from this as well? Is that something that's typical, or is primarily the driver of, I can get you out of this deal?
Oh, it's a combination. So, and that's going to depend purely on the seller's situation. Sometimes they just want out, and other times, you know, they just want out, but there's also a nice financial windfall for them, because when their existing mortgage is paid off and the property's done and they've paid all their debts, there could be a lot left over. Purely depends on, you know, what position they are in the property with, you know, how long they've had it, how much of a mortgage is left, how much debt they have on it in general. That situation varies completely, you know, deal to deal, person to person.
What kind of a margin do you think is realistic for somebody coming in as a wholesaler? They're looking for opportunities and they're trying to figure out how they can make some money doing this. What kind of a profit margin, percentage, or dollar amount do you think is the target? Where do you think people ought to be looking, and is there a number like that?
Yeah, I'd like to see people start modest. You know, there's always, hey, let's make $1 million in a week. That's not going to happen.
Sounds nice. Unless you're flipping skyscrapers in New York, it's probably not going to work out.
Yeah, and good luck trying to get those skyscrapers with no experience. On the other hand,
I mean, do you have a number for there's a place in Pennsylvania Avenue, I understand you can do that now in D.C. if that's where you're from. So if you got that number, maybe you could share that at the show, at your event. But outside of that, when you're flipping houses, where do you think people ought to be looking?
I like to see people. I've seen an average of about $9,600 as the profit as your wholesale fee. So you are signing your contract, selling your position in that contract for about $9,600.
Which is pretty substantial profit, really, when you figure that your input is time. All right, we got our last break coming up here, Tom. We'll pick up, finish this up after the break. Stick around. I recently met with a homeowner who was ready to retire but felt trapped in his job because his retirement funds had gone down substantially over the last few years and he needed the income from his job to make payments on his home. Reviewing his options, he realized a reverse mortgage would pay off his current loan, give him some money to take care of much needed repairs, and eliminate his monthly mortgage payment completely. If you own your home and you're 62 or older, you may qualify for a reverse mortgage that will help you meet your retirement goals. I have years of experience helping Utah homeowners and will help you find the right solution for your financing needs. With a 10-minute call, I can help you find out how you qualify and how a reverse mortgage can help you. Call me today, Alan Blood, 298-5887. That's Alan Blood with Capital Financial, 801-298-5887, NMLS number 3146.
Here comes the Utah State Fair.
Thrill ride, yeah. Right on a ticket gets you there. Rushing up into the air, a thrilling ride that takes you high, a screaming freakout in the sky. Utah State Fair, September 6th through the 16th. Totally bodacious.
VF Law is a regional law firm with offices in six western states, known for its unparalleled experience in HOA law and plaintiff civil litigation team, led by Ted McBride.
Hi, I'm trial attorney Ted McBride, and together with my team, we've recovered millions of dollars for our clients in cases ranging from car accidents, legal malpractice, medical malpractice, civil rights, and construction defect. If you feel your rights have been violated or if you're getting stonewalled by an insurance company, give us a call. We can help.
Call Ted McBride at 801-355-9594 or visit vf-law.com to schedule your free consultation.
801-355-9594. Welcome back to Where Wall Street Meets Main Street. This is your host, Alan Blood. I'm here with Jeff and Rebecca from the Utah Real Estate Investors Association and Tom Zeeb, a realtor, mentor, and investor. So, Tom, we were talking here today about wholesaling and the challenges and the goods and the bads. Well, we talked mostly about the goods. What are the bads? What are the downsides of getting into wholesaling?
The downsides are, you know, wholesaling, it's not technically an investment. You're not holding anything for the long term. So to keep making money, you have to keep doing deals. And some people say, oh, that's a big downside because that's like having a job. Well, it's a job that I have complete control over. And, you know, you want more money, do more deals. And when you're at a level that you're comfortable, you keep a nice comfortable clip. So some people see that as a downside.
So the downside is you have to work to make money.
Yes, horrible.
Oh, man, I was really hoping that you'd tell me something different, because I'm looking for that golden goose that will just lay eggs in my backyard, and I'd heard that that's what real estate investing was all about, right?
It's all free money and it rains.
Free money and rains down. You've got a money tree, and you're going to actually give away seeds at the event on the 19th.
Of course.
Well, and I say that, but I think that sometimes that's the perspective that people might take in is, okay, I've just got to go and talk to three people. You mentioned, you know, make three phone calls. I got to go talk to somebody. There's this house down the street, and I know it's been kind of distressed, and they haven't sold it. I just need to go talk to them, and then I'm going to step in, and I'm going to do it. And unfortunately, I think sometimes, particularly novice investors or novice business people, jump right into counting those chickens well before they're hatched. And how do you help people deal with that and not fall into that trap? Because I think it's an easy one to get into.
That trap tends to happen a lot when you think there's only, you know, there's this one property you become obsessed with, and you get a certain kind of almost one-itis. You're obsessed with that one property, and then but you don't do anything to really make it happen. I tell people, you know, get in there and quickly qualify it or disqualify it, and make sure you have a lot of different lines in the water. I mean, marketing, we can make it into a fishing analogy. We want to have more lines in the water because then we can potentially catch more fish at once. If you're just going to focus on one potential lead and get obsessed by it, well, what happens when that dries up or goes nowhere?
Well, and to continue your analogy, I think for most, particularly, again, newer novice investors, it is lines in the water, not casting a net. I think people want to cast a net. They want to do some big push and, you know, throw something out there on social media or send out a mailer and then, you know, just cast the net in and then just reel it in and have all kinds of fish. And really, I think it is what you said. It's lines in the water. It's this line and that line. It's a lot of different individual pieces that you have to work each and every one. Otherwise, they don't come to fruition. It's not just that you can go out and cast a broad net and somehow have money flow in.
Right. And good marketing is about getting the bait correct. You got to have the right bait piece on the hook, get that in the water, be patient. And then as you're bringing it in, that's when negotiation comes into play. You know, learning negotiation, there's another skill not taught in school that nobody seems to really know or understand. But when you start to get the negotiation right, it's one of the ways you crush your competition and set yourself apart as well, because negotiation makes you come across more professional.
I like it. Okay, so you're going to be here in Utah the 19th, and you're going to talk for 3 hours about this topic, which seems like a really long time and a lot of information that people can glean. What do you want people to take away from that event that are going to come and listen to you?
I want people to understand that this is a very accessible way of becoming a real estate investor. It can lead to any type of real estate investing that you want to get into as well. I mean, I'm teaching the basics of finding deals, which is marketing, mm-hmm. making deals, which is negotiation, and then getting paid, which is the control elements of it. If you want to wholesale at that point, great. But at some point you go, hey, I want to buy and hold this. I want to hold it as a rental and get some wealth over time. Well, you're going to use the same skill set. And simply, if you want to rehab the property, the same skill set. You still need to market for the deal, negotiate the deal, get it under contract, and bring it to settlement. So I'm going to be teaching you the skills that will work for any type of real estate investing that you want to get into.
So this sounds like something that not just the novice investor is going to get information from, but someone with experience investing, this might give them a different perspective than what they've had in the past.
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the interesting things is being able to train beginners, intermediate, and advanced all at the same time and have everyone move multiple rungs up the ladder from where they're at. And particularly on the negotiation front, everybody can use either a basic training in negotiation or a refresher course in it, and it makes you think about what you're doing differently.
Marketing and negotiation piece, in my mind, would probably even be more valuable for someone who's been out there, boots on the ground for a while, who've maybe done this once or twice, or who has some rental property and is just trying to refine their process. Having someone else come in and say, this is what's worked for me, I think is extraordinarily valuable, especially when you already speak the language and you understand the vocabulary and you have some of your own personal background to look at that against. That tapestry seems to make it a lot more valuable. It would seem to me like the advanced real estate investor would probably benefit as much, if not more, than a novice investor in this case.
Absolutely.
Excellent. All right. Well, so one last question for you in this event. If you could go out and reach out into the radio and pick that person who's listening right now, what does that person look like that you really hope shows up to this event? What are the characteristics of the people you really want to be there that you can talk to and help share this information with?
It works perfect for people who want a change from what they're doing. If you're not thrilled, not happy with where you're at, and you're going, you know, real estate could be my way forward. I want to get out of the 9-to-5 rat race. I want to be on my own. I'm willing to do what it takes to implement and make that happen. I think that's the perfect person to be at the event.
Is there an age limit or range where you find this is more or less appropriate?
No, appropriate at all ages. I do find, though, that it tends to do, for whatever reason, I tend to do kind of from your 30s up. I'm not sure.
You've learned enough to know what not to do by the time you're there, maybe.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, usually I'm dealing with people that have been frustrated by something, and they want a change in life. And sometimes, you know, a 20-something is going, you know, they haven't been beat down enough yet.
Yeah, haven't really gotten ground into the machine just yet. But boy, for someone who has the perspective and says, maybe I don't want to spend 10 years getting beat up and ground down, this could be a good way to facilitate stepping through all of that before you have to go through that process.
Absolutely.
Well, and the nice thing I like about this event that Jeff and Rebecca, you guys are putting on, is this is going to give people who attend an opportunity to network with other attendees.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think that networking piece might be as important as listening to the event itself, just finding other people that are doing what they want to do.
Absolutely.
Here in the local area.
And oftentimes you'll find the cogs that you need to make your wheel keep going. So building your A-team.
Okay, so September 19th, where should people go to sign up and register for this?
Yeah, go to our website. It's www.utahrea, that's spelled out UTAHREIA.org, utahrea.org.
And for those who want to attend, what's the cost?
The cost is our members can pay $39.
Wow.
And non-members pay $59, and that it does include lunch and a vendor reception.
Boy, that's an opportunity. All right. Hey, again, thank you for joining us, Tom. I appreciate you taking time out of your day. Looking forward to meeting you on the 19th. We'll see you there. And folks, thanks for listening. Thanks for joining in. We'll see you back here next week on Where Wall Street Meets Main Street.
At Discover, we believe anniversaries should be a time of celebration, not obligation. That's why we think annual fees are ridiculous. And now, just for giving us a try, we're going to give new card members a one-year anniversary gift they'll never forget. At the end of your first year, we'll match all the cash back you've earned dollar for dollar. no caps, and no catches. Because we know if you try us, you'll like us. And that's worth every penny. Try it and believe it at discover.com/match. Cashback match offer only for new card members. Limitations apply.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here. Folks keep asking me how KFC can afford to fit two pieces of Kentucky Fried Chicken, taters and gravy, a biscuit, a medium drink, and a cookie into my KFC $5 fill-ups and still sell them for just $5. Well, I saved a little money by only paying for 25 seconds of this here 30-second commercial. KFC, it's finger-licking good. At participating KFCs for a limited time, prices may vary. Tax extra. Extra charge for breast piece and side item substitution may apply.
There are certain things in life that are just going to happen. You are going to get a flat tire on the way to the airport. If you have an important phone call to make, your cell phone battery will be dead. And last but not least, you are going to get older. If you want to age the right way, pick up a copy of the Simply Senior magazine. It has all kinds of information that will make your journey better and offer solutions to those issues that come with getting a little more experienced at life. That's Simply Senior, available at most pharmacies, your community senior center, or online at simplyseniorsnews.com.
You're listening to the all-new K-Talk Media, KBJA, 1640 AM, Sandy, Salt Lake, and the entire Wasatch Front, bringing you live, local, two-way talk.